Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's spend a few minutes right now talking baseball as we're waiting for the hot stove really to heat up. The meeting's going on right now in Las Vegas. And we'll spend a few minutes with a CBS Sports HQ MLB analyst. You, of course, know him also from being the former president of the Marlins, and that's David Sampson, who's kind enough to join us right now on CBS Sports Radio. David, it's Zach Gelb here in New York City. Appreciate a few minutes, and how are you?
Hey, how are you, Zach? No problem. Happy to talk to you.
Well, thank you for jumping on board. Let me start off with the team that you know very well. That's the Marlins. JT Realmuto. We keep on hearing all these rumors about where he's going to be traded. One day, it could be a three-way deal between the Mets, the Yankees, and the Marlins. You hear that the Reds are in the mix, the Braves are in the mix. What do you think ends up happening with JT?
Well, the way the winter meetings work is you have to picture that there's 30 teams sitting in 30 different suites. And they have boards in each suite. And what you do is you put down a list of your team as it is. And then you have another board that has all the different trades that you would do. So you're really basically playing with yourself, doing trades with yourself, I should say, unless you're alone. And you're figuring out what you would do in a perfect world. And then you try to make a market because there's media everywhere. So you're meeting with the media and you're trying to get every team involved to try to get the most you can for a particular player who you know you have to move. So the Marlins have to move JT Realmuto. So they've spent this week trying to get as many teams involved publicly in order to get the few teams who want him to give as much as possible. And that's the process you're seeing right now.
As another GM or another president, how do you decipher when you see all these rumors flying, what do you think is authentic and then what is a little bit being fake?
So we assume that every rumor is fake. And because we plant stuff with the media just like the other 29 teams. So the media needs stuff, especially in this age of Twitter. They need rumors all the time. So it's very easy to call up a media person and say, listen, we've got interest in JT Realmuto. What do you think's going on out there? Or we're looking at signing Charlie Morton. What market do you see out there? That's not collusion because you're not working with the other teams. That's trying to use the media to get info. Sometimes you call the media and say, by the way, we have no interest in Charlie Morton, like what the Yankees did with Bryce Harper. They let it be known they have no interest in Bryce Harper publicly, but that doesn't mean they have no interest in him.
With the JT rumors, as we're talking right now with David Sampson on CBS Sports Radio, these things, as we're talking about right now, they're always interesting, and you really truly don't know which way it's going to play out. And if you're a fan of one team that could be in the mix for him, you get very excited and you end up not getting the player. But this idea that maybe it could be a three-way deal between the Mets, the Yankees, and the Marlins, and Syndergaard could wind up with the Yankees. I'm a Mets fan. I'll tell you that right now. That's a tough sell to the Mets fan if that does happen. And then you see some reports today that the Mets may not be trading Syndergaard. And you know, there's an idea out there, and I don't think Derek Jeter is operating the Marlins to make the Yankees better, but you see that perception of Giancarlo goes to the Yankees for basically not that much. And then if Syndergaard winds up with the Yankees in a deal where JT goes to the Mets, that would be one interesting perception just to see how fans would react to that, obviously knowing the great past that Jeter has and all the greatness he's done with the Yankees.
Well, the Mets have actually talked themselves into a corner, right? They hired an agent to be their GM, and then they traded for Robinson Cano for a reason that I'll never understand as an operator of a team. And they also got Edwin Diaz. That's a nice pickup. But are you doing that in order to win now? Well, Brody is claiming they want to win now. And you have to look at the age of Fred Wilpon, who hasn't won a World Series since 86, and he's getting older. So they'd certainly like to get a ring. And you have to know that they've got Yankee envy, which they always have. So the question is, are they actually going to trade Noah Syndergaard?
I don't think so.
The answer is absolutely not. It's a great rumor. Think about the media cycle that existed because of that one rumor that is certainly not happening.
Hey, I did shows all summer. Would you trade DeGrom to the Yankees if you were the Mets. That was something that was never ending as well. Since we talked, though, about the Yankees, they're chasing the Red Sox. We all know the great year the Red Sox had a year ago, 108 games. They win the World Series. They get Paxton in the offseason. How close do you think the Yankees are until taking back that AL East? And what do you think they need to do to catch up with the Red Sox?
You know, everyone's excited with getting Paxton. I think that he had a great year last year. It's going to be hard for him to repeat that. He's not a huge innings guy. Let's say he's a three starter, maybe a 2-3 at best, but more likely a three. You've got Severino, who to me, we treat him like a one, but at best he's a 2-3 because he's inconsistent. CC Sabathia is a five now at best. Tanaka, when he's not hurt, can be a 3-4. So they really do not have great starting pitching. And then you read they're trying to get J. Happ. I'm out on that. That's another five. He's 36 years old. He's just an innings guy. If you're the Yankees and you're trying to win and catch the Red Sox, which believe me, they want to do, you got to get a number one, not a collection of fives.
Do you expect the Red Sox to fall back since everything went right for them last year, your number one under Alex Cora?
Yeah, there's always regression. It's very hard to be that good 2 years in a row. The level of hunger changes. Look at the Astros. We thought they'd be better last year. I chose them to win the World Series. It's hard to repeat, and the reason teams don't, it's hard to stay motivated over 162 games. It's such a long season. I think the Red Sox do regress. I think the Yankees, as I've always said, they are built to get to October, but the way they're built now, they're not built to get through October.
And just the question is, how much do the Red Sox regress? Because this should still be a 100-win ball club, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you can't expect Mookie Betts to be what he was, because that was just – there's no player who does that year in and year out. And Chris Sale, a lot of injury issues and how they will protect him. You know, Rick Porcello had a good year, but he's really not a number one or a number two. They just – it all went right. And I think they're saying they don't need Kimbrel back. That you do need a closer to win 100 games. You can't go by committee. So it's going to be interesting. The Red Sox are in a tough position. But again, so are the Yankees. They have a lot of money tied up and not a lot of players.
David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ MLB analyst, former president of the Marlins here with us. Zach Gilbin for Bill Reiter on CBS Sports Radio. It's Reiter Than You. Last year, the pace of free agency was something that was extremely compelling. This year, the two big dominoes that still have to fall are Harper and Machado. How long do you believe that it takes for those two players to get a deal done?
I think it's going to take a while because what's going on with free agency is teams are finally getting smart and realizing that by the time players reach free agency, they're really not on the way up. They're on the way down, and you're paying for past performance, and you end up getting screwed that way. Harper and Machado are only 26, so this is a young group of two free agents, and they have both been promised that they'll get more than $325, which is Stanton's deal, by their agents. So they're going to wait till they get it. I think that they will eventually both get it, and I think that whoever signs both of them will have a hard time justifying the contract over the term.
When you say a while, you're thinking past the new year or before that in terms of how quickly these players get signed?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's past the new year because the last 2 weeks in December, things get really quiet. Post-winter meetings, people are tired and they sort of slow down a bit. And I just don't think that Harper has the deal that Boris promised him anywhere right now. I love what Mark Lerner did, the owner of the Nationals, by saying, hey, we offered you $300 million. You turned it down. See you later. I don't think that means there's no deal there, but I think it's a great negotiating stance. It's about time someone stood up to Scott Boris. And as far as Machado's concerned, boy, he did not help himself in the postseason. Didn't perform well and said some things that were just so bad that it boggles the mind. His agent must have lost his mind listening to his player talk.
How would you describe dealing with Scott Boris?
I would rather have root canal.
That bad?
No, it's like I can't describe it to you because you know that you are subject to the whims of your owner, who is subject to the BS spewed by Boris about his player, and you know no matter what you do or say, the owner can walk in at any time and say, we're taking this player. Owners have bailed out Scott Boris for so long. That's why I love what Mark Lerner did. I hope that right now I love Bryce Harper. I think he's a great player, but wouldn't it be great if Boris couldn't get Harper signed?
Where do you think Harper winds up?
I still think he winds up back with the Nationals. I think that it's critical for them. Ted Lerner is not the control person anymore, but he's in his 90s. He's wanted to win a ring forever. He's a great, great man. The Nationals just haven't been able to do it, but they went in with Corbin to bolster that rotation. They've got a deal with Masson. There's a big settlement coming at one point that will be an infusion of cash, and Bryce Harper is associated with the Nationals. I think that he eventually ends up back there, especially because Boris said a deal was already done. Even during the season, he said that, which obviously would be illegal unless it was done with the Nationals.
I also do some radio in Philadelphia, and there's a feel that either Harper or Machado will wind up there. And you hear the quote from John Middleton and all the reports that they're going to spend stupid money or whatever it was. Does Harper or Machado, I guess it would be Machado in this case from what you just said on Harper, does he wind up with the Phillies?
He could. I'd like his act to picture the scene when John Middleton says, "We're prepared to spend stupid money." 10 seconds later, the phone rings. It's the commissioner on the line saying, "Listen, John, what are you doing?" And meanwhile, Dan Lozano and Scott Boras are literally doing the Snoopy dance, because when an owner says that, it means it's actually going to happen. And that was not a great look for baseball, but it certainly was good for the agents and the players. I think Machado, that's a good fit for Philly. You know, they were not drawing as well last year. They've got a lot of revenue there on the table. You know how good that market can be. You know how much that Middleton wants to win. So I think it makes sense to get Machado on that team.
And Middleton's trying to be George Steinbrenner Jr. If you don't get someone, you can't sell him just on McCutcheon. That's not enough.
Well, but you could remember, you can, hey, I meant stupid money over the next few years. He could be talking about Trout or any other number of free agents. The thing about free agents is you think that your year, that this player is the last of its kind. There'll never be another one like it. And I felt subject and victim to that over my 18 years. But every year there's another free agent who would be great for your team.
With Charlie Morton, so much is made about the opener strategy with the Rays. We know they have some good starters, though, and they bring in Charlie Morton. That's just some story with Charlie and the way that he's turned around his career. What did you immediately think when you heard about that one?
That Tampa has to hit a certain payroll, and they have to spend a certain amount of money. A number four starter is now going at $15 million a year. It's why you have to develop your own and keep your own pitching. I love Charlie Morton. He's a back end of the rotation guy on a very good team. To ask him to be in the front of the rotation on a mediocre team, or to get Tampa over the edge in the AL East, which they won't be able to do, that's asking a lot. So I'm not sure that signing made a whole lot of sense.
One more for you as we're wrapping up with David Sampson right now on CBS Sports Radio. So much will be made from now until maybe the trade deadline about Madison Bumgarner. You start to hear less and less on that front. If you were dealing with that situation, how would you approach it if you were the Giants out in San Francisco?
It's so hard. They've been so successful, 3 World Series. He's a legend, an icon, a Hall of Famer. But he's on the decline. When you look at his numbers, you look at his velocity, you look at his injuries, you can say they're not pitching-related, that they just happen. Some of them are pitching-related, some aren't. It's really hard to deal with an aging superstar. And that's what happens when you win a bunch of World Series. You get a bunch of aging superstars, and they've got one in Posey. They've got one in Madison. It's hard to trade them, but sometimes you have to swallow hard and do something do the right thing. I just don't think they'll do it.
David Sampson, great stuff. CBS Sports, HKMLB analyst, former president of the Marlins. We'll talk to you down the road. Thank you, David.
All right, Zach, be good.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.